We're busy with redeeming your story, and we're actually finishing off tonight. It's our relationship month. If you like what's being said and you are very sad that you missed out, then I think you must get it on the internet. It's up there. You can download it. You can make your own little folder of whatever we preach through when we do a series. And tonight we're going to focus on dating and romance. Now, please don't throw me with stuff, because some people don't like the word dating. They like to substitute it for the word courtship. Use whatever word you want, all right? But at the end of the day, it's just definitions. There's a God's way and then there's another way. Amen? Some people call it courtship. Other people call it fray. I mean, it's, you decide. But you must answer. Okay. We're finishing off tonight. And I never thought I would preach a sermon out of Wachelet. Okay. Song of Solomon. Here I am, second week in a row. I'm telling you, I was never really one for that book. I just used to quote the one scripture to my friend. I told you guys last week, we'd say, I think I have a word for you, Bessel. And then I would say, you know, a Song of Psalms 4, verse 4. And then he would read, your breast is like two fawns. And then everyone will think it's so funny. So for me, it was just a book to make a joke with every now and then. But I've discovered that there's actually great depth in this book. And I know you'll enjoy it tonight. This is a very special book. In fact, last week, those of you who know me, will maybe have picked up that I was actually a bit emotional while I was preaching this sermon. I had to hold back a bit. Tonight I'm more calm, all right? But I really enjoyed this book. Last week, quickly, we spoke about this. We spoke about attraction and romance, okay? Song of Songs actually tells a story about a man and a woman and their journey from noticing one another to being married and actually spend some time in their married journey as well. Now, this is a book which commentators love to fight over, because some would say, now, you should not look at the romance between this man and woman at all. You should only look at the analogy it gives to Christ. That is true. This man represents, is a figure of Christ and how he loves the church. But it's definitely also profitable and definitely applicable to marriage. It's given for that purpose as well. Right, and so last week we started with these two checking one another out, starting to exchange some words. Very, very deep story. We hear a story of a lady who gets attracted to this man because of his name. So scripture says, your name. And then because he's got this great character, she falls in love with him and she gets physically attracted to him. And then we, those of you who were here last week, most of you. Then we also hear her saying, but don't look at my face. And she says, because my face is sunburned. She says, my face is dark. It's not pretty because my family sent me into vineyards. She had to look for days and days. She had to work to support her family. And the sun punished her. And scripture said, she says, I had to look after a vineyard, but my own vineyard I did not keep, her own body. And so we see this girl getting interested in this guy, and she being very shy and very self-conscious of her looks. And then we see him looking past and saying, but I like who you are, but I also like, and we think it's funny, it says your cheeks, all right? He's talking about her skin. He says, I love your skin. Time to hide away your face. And that's actually where we left off last week. Okay? Everyone with me? Now we're going to move on from almost that first exchanges to them starting to spend time together. Call it what you want. I call it date for tonight. All right? There's times they spend together. And they're moving along from noticing and first exchanges to knowing one another a bit better. Now, what you need to do is, if you are married, I can't tell you how much this helps me. We're talking about these two and how they discovered one another, but you have to apply it where you're at, all right? And I'm going to ask you to be mature about it, because I'm not going to explain everything for married couples. I'm going to tell the story as it is. I'll spend some time referring to marriage, but I want you to translate it into where you are. You also need to translate it if you are single, all right? Learn from it. Are you with me? Great. Let's just start here. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as foremost, Jesus might display his perfect patience. Now, I just want to say this before we start. When it is relationship month, a lot of people come to church. Everyone wants to hear about relationship. Everyone wants to get a few tips. But let me tell you what I've discovered over the years. It's the most personal sermons of them all. It's actually very dangerous for someone just to walk in here and maybe hear the stuff they do wrong and go out here and never come back, because they may leave here injured. I'll tell you what, this is very personal stuff. Relationships, sex, marriage, divorce, these are not your playmates. This make you or break you. I just want to tell you that Christ Jesus came into the world to save, to change circumstances, to change your life from the inside out. That is why he came. And I need you to stand on this from the beginning. If you hear things that you've done wrong, he knows about it. We've all messed up. What are you going to do about it now? Christ came to save. So don't feel condemned. Don't go home and cry and you messed up. Yes, you are messed up and I am messed up. We're all messed up. But if we come to him, put us together. Are you with me? Okay. And this is why he wants to save you, so that he might display something through you to the world. And even in this area of relationships, broken relationship was the starting blocks of my journey of faith. And a lot of who I am today was because I started off with a broken heart. And I had to grow through it. And maybe today you are where I started 15 years ago. Start there. Look at him and he will carry you and heal you. Now, I want to start at the end. They want to do, you know, that you get those movies where, like, what is this random scene? And then it says 1 year earlier, and then the movie starts. Okay. So it's a bit like this, only it's not a movie, it's a sermon. This is a lot better. If we go to the next slide, at the end, this guy married this girl, and this is their first night together, starting at the end. And he says something here. He says, "A garden locked is my sister." He's not saying she is his biological sister. Okay, it's not what he's saying. He's saying there's a bond that binds us together, and you are close to me. It's what he's saying. My bride, a spring locked, a fountain sealed. He's referring to her purity on the first night of marriage. It's where he starts. And I'm starting on a very personal note already tonight. I want to start you. The end. We're going to go to 6 months earlier now. I'm starting there because I'm showing you where these two end up, because they had some very difficult times on the way to that moment. And what I do want to say, and we normally pray at the end for these things for those who want to, but I want to say it at the start. If you are sexually broken, maybe no one knows it, only you, he can heal you. I just want to say that. You must know it. Scripture says he makes all things new. All things made me new. Maybe you refer to yourself as secondhand. Let me tell you what, you're not. God restores that back in you. He builds it into you. As you trust him, and as you follow him, he purifies you. Let's get your corpse. What would you say? I need to see it. Because this is personal stuff. Okay. This is where they finish. Can you see at the end, when the first time they were together sexually, he spoke to her and he said, "I can see that you are pure." Okay? Right. Now, 6 months earlier, let's go. You'll understand why I show you this. Now, just on the previous verse, the previous section in chapter 1, she was very self-aware and he said, "No, you are pretty." And here she is. She's going to be speaking most of chapter 2. She's going to be very blunt in what she says. And this is very interesting. This is a lot like a diary. A girl's diary, Owens. Skryf goed neer. And if you open that thing, buddy, jy's in trouble. Yeah, if you see that book, just leave it there. Don't touch it. I know you just want to lift it up. Jy gaan in die dog box wees. But this is pretty much like a diary, and God is really helping us by almost lifting this girls' thoughts into public so that we can say, everyone thinks, but no one talks about it. This is what she's doing here. She's being very honest. So his wording, when he's speaking, it's in bold. Okay? And when she's speaking, it's just a normal writing. So she's starting off, after being very self-aware, and here she is. She says, I'm a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. She's making a declaration here. She just comes from a place of being very self-aware of how she looks. And here she says, I'm pretty. I'm pretty. I'm worth fighting for. Can you see how important this is? This is where she's, this is before the relationship starts. And this girl realized how precious he is. She says, I'm pretty. I'm worth fighting for. If I'm a flower on a mountain, a man can walk. When he gets to me and he's very tired, you know what? It's worth it. She starts to discover in her heart that she's valuable. And he confirms it. He says, as a lily among brambles, so is my love among the young women. You stand out for me, is what he's saying. Believe that. Believe it about yourself. It's important you know that. You are pretty. Now, she's basically going to speak the rest of the chapter. We're going to follow her thoughts. At some stage, she will quote him, but we won't put it in bold. This is her telling, retelling events. And she kicks it off. She says, as an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved, this is this man, among the young men. With great delight I sat in his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. She's saying, when I'm with him, I feel protected. And what comes to my heart, I can sense it is good to me. It is sweet. Why is he she's saying, yeah, do anyone have an interpretation? Why is she speaking in this way of him? Now, first she said, your name. I know about your character and you are so attractive. Now, she is saying that I experience him as a place of rest. And she explains, check this out. He brought me to the banqueting house and his banner over me was love. Now, a banqueting house, the literal translation is a house of wine. Okay, so it, I don't know, maybe it's his house. For her, it was a festive occasion. All right. But now, what you need to understand about banners, it was used in war. So if the two armies was marching against one another, you would notice, there they come. The red one, and that's the nation. We heard they're coming, and there they are. They are saying, they're coming for us. But what was also true is within that big military force, there would be different legions or sections, and they would have different writing on the banner. So you'd know, oh, those are the archers, those are the guys that's good at that, and that would put the whole tactic together. It was a military way of communicating. There were so many flags. It's one, two, oh, there's the king. And sometimes it's hidden to the other nation, but we would know if there's like four flags, that's the king or whatever. Now, she's making a very important statement here. She says, he's got a banner. And the first thing she's saying about this banner is that she's under that banner. And it's so easy for us, and I want to jump a bit, to be in a different army than our loved one. We're marching against one another, but she comes in very clear. She says, I'm under that banner. Where he marched, that's where I am. Right? But now, the banner over her is love. So you could share the same house. And then when you're married, I mean, you share the same bathroom, same car. You're very close in proximity to one another. But that doesn't mean that you are close. You see, often the banner of the husband over the wife is one of control. Often the banner is one of passivity. Sometimes the wife has a banner. called manipulation. And what this lady says, he's got a banner, but it's love. I went to his banqueting table and I experienced his attentions. I looked into his heart and I experienced that his plans with me and the way he touches me and talks to me and cherishes me. This man's intention with me is love. And that's what she says. It's a place of safety. And so the first point for tonight, I think we're going to have six of them, is he offers a place of safety. And very important, then she inhabits that space. She goes and stands under the flag. I'm with him. So if you've got a picture of a big man and maybe just a smaller lady and she's just standing in front of him, I'm with him. I'm protected by him. And if you have something against me and if I've wronged you in any way, speak with him. He will sort out the situation. Now, I do want to say the greatest temptation for men in this world is to be passive. But she delights in the fact that he hangs a banner, that he's active in taking a leadership place. And ladies, for you, the challenge is autonomy, self-governing. You know what? It's very possible in this church or in other churches around the world that the wife may earn a salary that's four times bigger than the guy's because God is calling him to do something in a specific company. Done. Not going to talk about it anymore. It's got nothing to do with who brings in the most money. It's got all the things to do with who's giving safety and who's under the banner. And she's saying, I love the fact that I can be under his banner. It's a safe place for me. Does that make sense? Now, they're just dating. What this means is you should be able to see as you're pursuing a friendship with someone, is this a safe thing for me or not? You will not know everything. It's not possible. You will get to know one another still 10 years after marriage. But one thing you'd be able to see is he a safe place for me? And you pick it up very quickly. Boundaries, things that's very important to you. Does he respect it? He's a safe place for you. How does he speak with you? Is it words of a safekeeper? Is it words of a protector? Is it words of someone that does not respect you? It's only going to get worse. Okay? You should figure that out. We're talking about dating and romance. Is he a place of safety? Very good. How's it going with your relationship with God? Is he helping you? Is he blowing on the fire? Yes, go on missions. You're going to do well. I support you. You know I can't go this year, but I want you to go. I love it when you're with me, but you know if you're working for God, is he a safe place? Very important. If you feel scared around him, you need to think. Amen? Let's go on. Sustain me with raisins. He gets a bit hungry, yeah? Everyone gets hungry now. I know. If she was in our church, she'd say, bring the pancakes, refresh me with cinnamon and sugar, for I am hungry. Now, this is very interesting what's happening here. I think she's dreaming a bit and she's saying, you know what, I'm sick with love. I am crazy in love. Why? We just spoke about it. Why? So safe with him. I'm with. Oh, my BNS pop. This guy is amazing. We're just hearing her story now. This guy's just as in love. We're just focusing tonight on the lady's story. She says, I'm sick of love. Check this out. She says, now, this happens, okay? Now, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean you must do this, okay? She stops herself in a second. She says, she's dreaming. Right? They're not doing it. She's not talking to him. She's saying, his left hand behind my head, his right hand behind my body. This girl is busy longing for this guy's physical affection because he's a protected place for her. So it gets her going. Because his character is so strong, it gets her physically attracted to him. His right hand embraces me. I don't know if she's saying it to herself, if she's writing a song, but it's in her. It's coming out. Okay. She's very open. Very open. That actually describes a very intimate position. And check what she says in the next verse. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and the does of the field, that you do not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. We know this verse because we take it sometimes. Can you see where it fits in? Now, this is very funny because she's the one thinking these thoughts. And then she talks to us, hey, don't think those things. Okay, daughters, don't think those kind of things. But just one verse ago, she was the one longing for this man. So it's actually a bit funny. But she's taking her thoughts captive. She's saying, no, this is not my husband. Lord, I should not awaken that type of love before it's time. But man, he's amazing. And she knows it. And I don't, guys, I don't want to hammer this. I'd rather inspire you guys than try and do it with fear. But sex is a gift for marriage. I just want to say it. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's precious. But you'll only experience it to its fullest extent if God's blessing is in it. It cannot work otherwise. It cannot work. It will break the relationship. It will cause suspicion and jealousy and fight out of nothing. I'd like to file copies and junctures that because it comes in and it keeps the fire burning in a marriage, but it burns down on any other platform, okay? Because it's beautifully gifted, and some of you will know what I'm talking about. And I experienced my life as a young man, and here she is, and she says, don't stir it up before it's time, amen? Number two, the time leading to the marriage, they commit to purity before God. That's what's happening here. Remember the first verse we started out with? Okay? You're a locked garden. So we know she's thinking about it, but it did not happen. All right? She kept herself. Who needs to fight for purity? Let me tell you what, every man. Don't think if you're single, oh, I must fight for it. And when you're married, you're sorted. You need to keep your heart pure before God forever. Men every day walk out of marriages. To present your heart pure before God, it just looks different before and after marriage. But each one of us, ladies and gents, should fight for our purity and present it before God. The moment you do it, you are investing in your marriage bed, which you already have or will have one day. Amen? Is that okay? I'm honest about these things. Right. She goes on. This is God, I'm telling you. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. She's saying he's a stud. Have you seen him? Did I kite the scene? I didn't obviously CrossFit of it. Okay. Behold, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, looking through the lattice. What is that? I know what lettuce is on like salad, but apparently it's a divyaran. Divyaran. Oh, okay, cool. I knew that. Any case, what she's saying is he's coming to her house, where there's protective barriers, probably her parents. He's coming there to her parents' house. Okay? And he wants to speak with her, and he says, well, she says, my beloved, now she starts to quote him. Can you see the inverted commas? This is what he said, but she's telling the story. She's a better storyteller. She's a woman, okay? She knows how to put the right words at the right place, that kind of thing. And she says, hy het seker gesê, kom ons gaan. But she says, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come. Kom, ek's honger. My beautiful one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. He's asking her to come with him, to marry him. That's what he's asking. He says, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree ripens, it's fixed, and the vines are in blossom, they give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. Okay? It's just, will you come with me? Will you leave this place where you live and spend the rest of your life with me? Are you willing to come to Secunda with me? That's what he's saying. Right, my wife said yes. What about yours? All right. He's still speaking. Gets to a very important part. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face. Listen, he's saying, can we go to our favorite picnic place? That's all he's saying. Can we go to the place where we, when we go, when we want to have special times, when we want to connect. And this is what I want to do. I want to see your face and I want to hear your voice. For your voice is sweet. Your face is lovely. For those of you that's going to do Bible school, that's a cool example of what we call parallelism. He says, I want to see your face. I want to hear your voice. And then he switches around. He says, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. First he says, I want to see you and hear you. Then he's heard it and he says, wow, Ancina, you are beautiful. So they had a conversation there. That's what we can see. Scripture is amazing, isn't it? But now see what he says. He says, catch the foxes for us. Was there, was our jackal se vraag hartlebid? Is die vraag. This is a joke. Come on, mensen. Ons weet wat een stretch is our jackals is. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyard, for our vineyards are in blossom. Now, what is happening here is they are building a relationship, but there's some things they need to sort out. It's called foxes. Now, the analogy they use is, first he started, it's like it's springtime, everything is going to bear fruit and it's nice fragrance and the Davison and everything. Then he says, catch the foxes for us, the foxes that spoil the vineyards. Now, what animals do is they eat the bud on a vine or on a branch, and that bud would become grapes. It would bear fruit that's sweet and lovely to eat. But only if the animals get there and eat that bud, then there would be no fruit. And so what he's saying is, can we talk through a few things? Because I want this to bear fruit. I want us to do so well. And so it's so important that we talk through it. But look at his wording. Catch the foxes for us. We're in this together. I don't want any unachieved potential in our relationship. But see what he does. He takes her to their favorite picnic place and he tells her how pretty she is. And then he enjoys the sound of her voice. And then he brings up one or two difficult topics. Because it's hard to talk about those things, amen? Okay, so what happens is, in my house, no one else's house is their fights. It's only my house. But what would happen is, do you know you feel closest to God after you've messed up and you come back? Who's experienced that? You're like, oh, this relationship is so fresh, so awesome. Like, how could I be so stupid to run away from him? And so we see that happening also in relationships. It's biblical to fight and make up. And making up is awesome. We experience with God as well. And so in my house, what would happen is I would be a bit harakwas, as I can be, my wife, and then there's a bit stolstaper, okay? But the air is thick, okay? It's very thick. And so you're like, begin dishes wash, stofzuig, verf die dak, I don't know. whatever not to have a conversation, okay? And then normally, because I'm the one who mess up, then normally I would go to my so she's still washing the dishes. And then I'd say, love you. Do we have a wig? I'd say, I would just start to speak. I was wrong. Okay, and and tears will flow, and it'll be the start of the healing process. You know, and we'd sit down and say, "Let me just sit and let's talk about that. Sort out the foxes that's stealing our day, and our time, and our month, and this area of our life, because we're just not talking about it." And so he takes it to the right place, and he speaks with her. And she's probably very vulnerable. Yo, there is something bothering me. And he maybe picked it up. She often don't experience herself as beautiful. And so she's got jealousy issues and maybe very, very vulnerable before him. And he reassures her in that moment. And check what she says in the next verse. Very difficult conversation. My beloved is mine, I'm his. And that was the most difficult thing they just did. But now she's walking like, that's what we do, yeah. We talk, my lover and me, you know. We talk things through, man. It's mine. Back together. Because they spoke heart to heart, sorting it out. My beloved is mine and I am his. And he grazes among the lilies. What that means is he grazes among the lilies is that can be one of two things. He comes to me for love. It's the one thing. He comes to me when he needs love. The other thing it might mean, because she's a lily, and that's many lilies, is that she esteems what he's doing as a leader in the community. That's mine. Check. He's a leader. He shepherds the people. Okay, you can choose whichever one you like. Keep both. Number three. He initiates catching the foxes, and she appreciates it. Not initially, not when we sit down to talk, but at the end she loves it. Amen? He's a leader. He's got a banner of love and protection. He takes her to a place where they can talk, and he initiates difficult conversations. Now, check this out. Okay, just that verse again. My beloved is mine and I am his. They just had a bit of an issue to work through. And look at what she says. Until the day breathes and the shadow, she's got one of those moments again. Until the day breathes and the shadow flee, turn my beloved like a gazelle or like a young CrossFit stud on cleft mountains. All right? She's saying, he's a leader maybe in the community, he's doing amazing things, listen, but while it's dark, you're mine. That's what she's saying. Until the day breathes and the shadows flee, until that time, come to the mountain. She has got feelings again because he just spoke with her. The first time she experienced this was when he hung a banner over her of love. Of leadership. Now it's happening again. Sayrok Varam Van. He's talking to her in a gentle way. Okay? And so she's in love. He's as well. We're just hearing her story tonight. So if that wasn't just our English, verse 17, it would be something like this. If you just know how hot you look right now, something like that. Okay? Number four, she finds his leadership romantically attractive. It's all these inner things that he carries in who he is that's changing the way she sees him. Now, this is very hard for any married couple to observe. I think when you're single, you're a bit biased. But I observe this, and I see how the measurements of attraction in this world have been just so fallen by sin. quickly touch on it last week. We've been conditioned to make a decision so quickly. You know, everything is fast. Quah, selfie. Quah, Facebook. 20 likes. Boom. Fast, just like this. And so I'd hear someone say something like, I like him, he's an honorable man, but when we're alone, he doesn't know what to say, you know? He's uncomfortable when we're alone, so I don't know if he's the one. Wow. Okay, the man, it's a new thing for him. It's a new thing. He's a good man. You hear what I'm saying? Yes, he doesn't watch a whole lot of romantic comedies, nonsense. Give him a break. It's a new thing. Look at his character. Just look longer. Just look a bit longer and you'll see what this woman saw. Your name. Your leadership. Your banner of love. And guys, it's both, girls and guys. We've been trained to be so shallow. If she's not the package, if she doesn't fit, it's not my type. Don't be stupid. She's worked in the vineyards. She's built a character. She's served family. She knows authority, respect, love. Look longer that you may see. And that's what we need to take out of this love story here, because there's no one of us who is as romantic as these two. And it's built on this, his name, his leadership, her heart, her history. The story. Amen? That makes sense? And I think, I'll just talk to the guys. I don't know, the girls can challenge one another. I think we must ask ourselves, what are we attracted to? And it must become to us a very spiritual issue. If Christ in someone is not the most beautiful thing, what are we? What are we beholding? So a good prayer to pray is, Lord, you open my eyes. If I can see you, you are the most beautiful thing. Lord, it's you. I want to see you in a person. If God conceals his face in someone, doesn't matter how pretty the face, he's concealing it for you for some reason. Move along. Amen? We must talk about this. Sorry. But this will save your life. This will save your ministry. This will save your finances. Okay? Now she goes on. This girl, Stacey Scalmi. We've got some of them in church. They could have written this. She says, I'm on my bed by night. I sought him whom my soul loves. Can I go on or must I stop? Can I go on? Draag rof, ne? Okay. I sought him, but I found him not. You won't find him. You're in your bed. He does not belong there. All right? So that's why you're looking for him. He's not there. But she longs for him. And that's okay. You miss the guy. You take your pillow and your... and all those kind of things. Okay? Don't laugh. You do it. I know. I don't do it. Check this girl in the middle of the night. I will rise and I will go about the city and the street, squares. I will seek him whom my soul love. No. Kijk, I said, bel je antwoord. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen found me as they went about the city. This is in the middle of the night. Have you seen him whom my soul loves? She wants to be with him. Right? This relationship is growing and it's growing fast. And she's saying, scarcely as I passed them when I found him whom my soul loves. I held him and I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, and into the chamber of her who conceived me. Okay? So I guess you could say these two are tempted a bit, all right? Guess what's the next verse? I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the does of the field, that you do not stir up or awaken love until it's pleased. Did you hear me, daughters? So they quickly run out of the room and they say, "Whoo, just go to another continent and I'll go to mine." So we've got a saying, "Na elf gebeur dinge vanself." Okay? So if you're dating, you tell the lovely girl that you will, this is a DVD, okay? You take her out from her parents' house. But the DVD does not have an age restriction, okay? And you take her back in time. Take her to a doorstep. Make sure she gets into the house. You stay on the outside. You say bye. You run to your car. That's what you do. Point number 5 reads the same as point number 2. In the time leading to the marriage, they commit to purity before God. I've got it up there 2 times. It's not a mistake. Now, I'm going to skip this part. You can read it for yourselves. A lot of flowers and Song of Solomon things in there. It's basically the marriage ceremony. Okay, girls, you'd love that part. Chapter 3, verse 6 to 11. Read it for yourself. The getting married. All right, at last, time is here. The getting married. And now he speaks. And then he gets a chance to speak. Because women can talk for a long time. And now she said a whole lot, and now he's talking. He says, "Behold, you are beautiful, my love. You are beautiful." This is after the marriage. They're together for the marriage night. Okay, it's a very sensitive and a very sacred scene that's happening here. And look at what it says. It says, "Your eyes, dove, behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats sleeping down slopes of Gilead. Your teeth," this is going all the way. You're probably saying, like, "I love your smile," or something like that. "But your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes that have come up from the washing." Okay? Yeah, he did say that. "All of which bear twins." You see, when he speaks, when the version comes from him, it's very straight. When she writes, it's more romantic. In any case, "all of which bear twins, and not one among them has lost its young. Your lips are like scarlet thread, and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks like halves of pomegranate." Is that a compliment? Okay, that's it. Okay, but it is. "Your neck is like..." Okay, see what he's doing. This guy is moving down now. Okay. That's what's happening. I'm not joking. It's the first time he mentions the neck, right? It was your voice, your face, your cheeks, your voice in that area, yeah. Now, he's pushing a boundary. He's right here on the neck. "Built in rows of stone." That's words. "On it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors." And there he goes. "Your 2 breasts are like 2 fawns, twins of a gazelle that graze among the lilies." Okay? First time he goes there. Check what he says until the day breathes and the shadow flee. "I will go away to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense." He answers her reply. It's time. Isn't that amazing? And they waited. Telling you it's a good book. Verse 12, he speaks of a purity. He says, "God unlocked." We might have challenges. I don't know, run streets at night and stuff like that. But here we are, bummed and bruised. And we fell and we prayed and ons bande gebreek and we asked forgiveness. And they prayed with you and the ladies prayed with me. And here we are. Tonight, we are pure before Him. Isn't that amazing? A spring locked and a fountain sealed. We did it. They enjoy their marriage bed and God's blessing rests on it. Where are you tonight in your journey? Are you at a great place? Are you at an average place? Are you at a place where you think it's a place of no return? Let me tell you what. His cross speaks to this. Even if you messed up in so many ways up to yesterday or today, if you give everything to Him, you commit, it's not going to be a quick fix. It's going to be your life in His hands. He's going to reach in and start to heal you. Even if you're married, He's going to, can we go to the previous verse again? Even if you're married, He's going to take you back there. You and your wife. He's going to do something. You're going to look at it and you're going to say, I've never experienced so much purity in this bed. In our lives. God is good. If you're single, don't wait. If you're in a relationship, you're going to get married. Difficult. Let Him take hold of your heart. He can do miracles. Amen. Let's just read this together. 1 Timothy. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came here to help us who messed up. So this is that. And Paul says, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as foremost Jesus might display something through your brokenness, through the roads you walked and you've got scars and blistered and you're injured inside and out. Let me tell you what, that's why it came. So what are you going to do? That's my only question. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what I did. Cried for a week, prayed for a week. I was single for a long time as a student and God cleansed me, sought me out. Made mistakes before that, during that time and after that time, and I will forever till He comes back. But one thing I did, I ran like a crazy man. I said, Lord, if you don't fix me now, I've got problems. What are you going to do? This is a good place for you to grow. I'm not shy to say this is a good church. There's amazing people here, humble people. There's no pretenses here. There's no heroes here. I'm not a hero. It's a good place for you to grow. Amen. Can we stand tonight?